Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's Tuesday morning, November 8th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. We have a very, very special Hair Radio broadcast lined up for you today. Now, it's a big reminder to go out and vote. We're living in very, very uncertain times, and they call for everybody's voice to be heard. Now, we're talking about it live, mid-show, and then in our spotlight hour, that's between 8 and 9 Eastern, 7 and 8 Central Time, folks, Michael Hopkins, who is the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show. Now, he kicks off a very, very special broadcast celebration at about 8:30 Eastern today, Tuesday, so real, real excited. Then, of course, and that's in honor of the Veterans Day that will be on Monday. Now, so also, first up, we have our political contributor. He's the former mayor from out in Irvington, New Jersey. He was mayor there for 12 years, Wayne Smith. Now, he visited us just very, very recently to talk about the midterms election. And also why it's so important for you to vote. You don't want to miss, again, what he has to say. We'll be starting in with that this morning. And so much more. Of course, we take care of the hair and beauty talk. Got to do that. So stay tuned for an exciting show today.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
American.
To the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and today we have another great guest with us. Her name is Ahava Felicidad. She's from the state of New Jersey. Ahava, I'd like to welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure to have you with us, and I want to jump right on in. Tell everyone about your salon and what you do.
Well, it's called the Ahava Felicidad Hair and Body, what I call a growing holistic care organization, and it is headquartered in Upper Montclair, New Jersey at Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad. So it's a cozy studio space located in the town where I actually grew up in, so I'm a native of Montclair. And what services are offered here range from consultations, which include regimens and product recommendations, hair practice and care, sharing hair stories and finding out more about growing back hair from hair loss or breakage and just taking better care of hair. We also provide styling, so I do scalp hair and styling here at the studio as well, mix and make natural products, have some distributor products here that are all natural and organic for, you know, anyone who's just maybe new on the journey or they've been on the journey for a while and they want to take everything they do to the next level. I also offer classes, so technique classes and also certificate classes for professionals and for clients.
Now, what kinds of classes do you offer?
The classes that are offered range from classes like two-strand and three-strand twisting, cornrows classes. There's one particular class that is called the Soft Style Trio. It's a new class where clients can come in and learn how to do French rolls, make mini buns, what we call thin buns, and make pineapples in the hair, and that way they can care for their hair and do some styling in between sessions. There are also classes on cylinders and microlinking, so braidless weaving techniques.
Tell us a little bit more about that, if you will.
Well, the classes on cylinders, that's really exciting because it is a technique that I find more so it's not talked about as often to to cross over into working with kinky, kinky, curly, and wavy hair. It's a technique that you see most times just on done on straight hair or hair that is has been relaxed. So this class that we offer goes over how to work in natural hair and who you can provide cylinders for if their hair is not strong enough for braiding in a traditional weave with the weft, and the person wants to get their scalp. They also want to have a look that lasts a little bit longer than maybe a traditional weave or a crochet would. And we talk about in the class and train on how to care for the hair, what types of cylinders or hair would be installed for the client, and go over how to care for the hair as well as educate the clients on how to care for the hair.
Now, you have got to tell us, Ahava, how did you get started in this business, and you know, what inspired you so much to be so passionate about this?
I've been doing hair since I was a child. So I would say this goes back really far. We'll say middle school for the extensions, but I actually started braiding my own hair around the age of 5.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I've been doing hair for a long time. Then I started helping other people with their hair in middle school. And I would say I do have a cousin who put extensions in my hair, and I felt what she did. And then I just began doing this. Now, the passion came from a mentor that I have. And the mentor, my mentor, Dr. Brown, told me, well, you know, you love to do hair. This is what you do. You do this really well. You know, he watched me with a few clients and said, well, this is where you need to go. This is where you need to be. And I see that you're very happy when you do this, because I am very happy when I'm working in hair. So around 2009, I started really doing more consultations. But I would say even all through undergrad, I did hair. And I assisted and gave recommendations on hair care even before I transitioned to natural. So hair is just inherently, it's just an innate thing in me. For anyone who's what I call a part of any type of collective, there'd be a collective group of artists. And I had a conversation with a client about this actually today when she said to me, well, when did you learn how to do 3 strands? Or when did you learn and how did you learn that? Did you see someone else do it? And I said, well, no, actually, one day I was working in hair and it just came to me to try 3 strands going in one direction. And then after that, I looked it up and saw that there were a few people doing this online. I went through all the ways that this technique can help with natural hair. And then I just continue to learn from there and let things come to me. And then I'll find out, oh, there's a few other people who may do this, but they're doing this on their own hair, not in practice to take care of others. So I actually will do this on my own hair and in practice to take care of others and help them to help to take care of themselves.
Wow. So you have to say that this is really serving as an inspiration for others.
Yes, and I have been told that, but I've been an inspiration. I've been an inspiration for many women going natural, an inspiration for naturals to do more with their natural hair, because I have been told, well, this is amazing. You actually help us. You'll teach us, and you'll do our hair. Like, we never find anyone who does that, because they, you know, everyone may not have that teacher in them. And I actually still have, you know, the teacher in me where I want to share, and I want the legacy to carry on and to grow. And without sharing it, that won't happen.
I agree. Now, you did touch on this a little while ago, but I want to find a little bit more details about this, because I honestly had never heard of the cornrow certification. Would you be kind enough to share with our listeners a little bit more detail about that? I think that would be great.
Yes. Okay. So I've just recently created a cornrow certification, class or actually program. So I have 3 levels of teaching how to cornrow. Now, of course, someone would already have an affinity for and some skills with braiding or creating cornrows. So most people who are coming to a certificate class of this nature or program already know how to braid, and then they're just looking to go to the next level. So I have a basic class, which would be called Natural Hair Newbie. In all of the programs, there's a natural, like an intro, which we call a novice, an intermediate, or an advanced. So with this cornrow cert program, there's actually an intro, where you're practicing cornrows and you're required to actually do cornrows going straight back in several different number of cornrows. Then in level two, we go over everything we went over in level one as far as care and styling and, you know, how to co-wash the hair, things about caring for natural hair and transitioners. The next level of cornrows requires more intricacy. So we would do shapes and zigzags and crisscrossing and mandalas and things of that nature. The level above that's an advanced level that would be more for like couture and runway, where I love to work with copper and ribbon and hemp cord and satin cord, and so do others. And then they would learn how to install feathers, how to install ribbons, how to loop through on a crochet technique, satin cord to create accents in the hair. We also do threading with yarn or with thread, even silk thread, silk hair tinsel, you know, like fun hands-on accessories that will go in the hair for the very artistic styles. So you get everything with the three-part cornrows class. So cornrows are something that aren't traditionally taught extensively in a beauty program. That's something that's inherent, cultural, it's spiritual, it's educational, it's emotional. The more you practice, the better you're going to get. So the CERT program allows the practice and the longevity, and also then me being right there to say, okay, this is, you're doing really well, and then anyone else who's on our team that's a cornrows expert would be able to help and promote and support these designs, and then you're tested on, you know, the skills and then also the hair care knowledge.
Well, we have got to tell everyone how to find you.
Oh, definitely. It's so easy to find me. The number into the studio, there's a studio mobile. It's 973-619-2855. There's also a second line, which is a dedicated line for Team Natriotic, so that's team members who are patriots for, loyal to the natural hair movement and everything natural and chemical-free, and also for other services that would provide, including body wrapping. That number is 201-921-9894. You can also find myself and then any post that I make or pages for Hava Felicidad Hair and Body at havafelicidad.wordpress.com. And that blog actually functions as a website. We have a Facebook page. The Facebook page has some great albums of some foundation clients. So clients who've been with me since the beginning of the journey, you'll find pictures of them in different albums, and it'll show befores and afters. You can also find me on YouTube at Ahava Felicidad, the holistic hair healer. There are some fun YouTube videos on there. It's not
just hair.
Yes, I watched
hair. One or two, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a nice, well-rounded view of me and then other interactions with me and clients. And, of course, more videos to come and some things that may be like tutorials, but more of hair healing experience and getting to know me as a person.
Well, I have to say, from all that I'm learning, and you've done quite a bit. You've got quite a few things going on out there. But I love your commitment to those who are transitioning. And,
yes.
You know, it's, yes. Please speak to that, because you're really able to, I think that, you know, especially for a lot of the women, that they'll be able to really relate, and they can relate, and I think that you really have walked so much and created such a path, and I just wanted you to speak to this art of transitioning and so forth.
The transitioning. Yeah. There are going to be women that are just not ready for the big chop. It's called the big chop. I call it the leap of faith. When I actually cut my hair, I called it going turkey, and this was in the late 90s. Yeah, that's what we call it, the going cold turkey. Like when you quit something, you go cold turkey. And then natural movement began to blossom, and this big chop concept came in. So I feel like I was one of those naturals at the very beginning of this next influx of transitioning and going natural. Transitioners need assistance with everything. So what happens is, because the scalp is now detoxing from chemicals, a lot of women transitioning experience an extreme amount of itching and flaking. And that's coming from detoxing and the body detoxing from now stopping the chemical relaxer.
Mm.
you need help with that and you want to talk to someone, and they'll, of course, come to talk to me about what's happening, and I'll help them to get hydrated on structured water, also sugar scrubbing the scalp. Transitioners need to know their options on transitioning. So I will have the consult and say, okay, well, this is your hair texture and density, if I can see it. If they have about 3 inches, that's when we can really see more of the texture. 1 inch to 2 inches may not be enough. Most transitioners, it's really going to depend on their lifestyle. So if they like a particular hairstyle, we have to go over, well, what types of styles do you like? What types of styles do you need for work? And we have this conversation about texture, density, length, and if they can rod set to transition, if they can blow out and ceramic press to transition, if they can 2-strand flat twist or 3-strand flat twist to transition. They may be able to braid or crochet, which is my favorite technique, and I would say I'm the crochet queen. I love doing crochet because crochet is another way for transitioners to make a smooth transition when they want longer hair, or they just want this particular look that, you know, they may not be able to get with their natural hair right away, but then cornrows are placed as a foundation and different hairs or fibers are looped under the cornrow and tied to create like a full head weave. This can also be done with partials. So we have the conversation about the journey. We go over the entire, you know, the if you grow half an inch of hair in a month, in 2 months you're going to have an inch, in 6 months, you know, the average person grows, in 6 months the average person's going to have about 3 inches of hair, in a year, 6. So quantifying that and also giving quality to that experience helps naturalists to connect with expectations, like managing an expectation of, well, how fast my hair is going to grow, and then what styling options I want to try. And then they get to start having fun with that. And then we'll gradually trim ends. As the hair grows out, they can just trim. So some naturals, it may be 5 months. Others can transition 18 months or longer. It's so much based on their hair texture and density. Not as much the length, but texture and density are going to play a part in how long they can take the transition.
Well, they've got the perfect partner. If you've just joined
us,
you're listening to the radio show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we've got with us Ahava Felicidad. Now, I love this, and your shop, again, is called, it's Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad.
Yes, Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
In what they call the midterms, it's midterm his presidential term. And usually, if the ruling party loses seats in the Congress, it's sort of, they try to frame it as a referendum on the president's work. And so this one is a lot unusual because we had, when you had Donald Trump as president, and, we had a president and we had Democratic rule in the Congress. So now you have, by very slim margins in the Senate and the House, who was supposed to be leaning toward the president, you had a few like Joe Manchin who were kind of, leaning Republican in most policy initiatives. So it was very difficult, even though Biden worked some miracles to get a lot of stuff through that
right.
I think helped the American people. The infrastructure bill, he bringing on back on shore the technology issues, trying to manufacture chips in the United States. All those things were big initiatives and policy initiatives that both Democrats and Republicans said they wanted to get done. He did get them done, and he did get some concessions from Joe Manchin, though Joe Manchin got some concessions from the Biden administration as well. So that is the question. Is this a referendum on the president, or is this about control of the Congress? The other difference is, for many people, do we get a return if the Republicans can take control of both houses of Congress? Is that a referendum for Donald Trump to leap back into the White House? So there's a lot at stake. You know, every election you hear everybody say this is the most important election. You know, I think every election is the most important election. So it goes without saying. But there's some pivotal issues here. And so in addition to the midterms, you have a lot of policy questions. You know, what will be the state of Social Security? What will be the state of social programs in America? What will be the state of the financial markets and the budget? Will Republicans, if they take control of the House, will they lift the deficit cap just so that the budget runs and doesn't affect Wall Street and the average person? So there's a lot at stake in the midterms. And so that's why it's always been a pivotal look in American politics. Is that a referendum on the work of the President of the United States or not?
Well, my thing, the way that I love how you said that, and yes, it's always claimed that it's a referendum on that sitting president at that time. But I'll tell you something. One of the things that, for me, I'm going to just raise my hand, and I don't know how you guys are there, but for me, it seems like there is an attack of personal on our personal freedoms. And that's why a lot of this with the, the upcoming elections for the midterms, we are concerned about Congress and what Congress is going to look like. And we are, they've already passed, the Supreme Court is already loaded with these extremist viewpointed folks, these extreme, with the way that they look at things. And so for us, we are going to, and again, I'm just speaking for myself. I can't say everybody feels this way. But it seems like we're going to notice the impact if the House, if Congress changes and or it's flipped, as they say. I hate to use the word, but that's what it is.
Yeah, there could be some major policy differences, as outlined earlier. And to just your mention of the Supreme Court is interesting, because in addition to Congress, there are elections what they call down ballot. And a lot of those down ballot offices are for Secretary of State, which controls the elections. And so we have this whole question of where people will be able to vote, how they'll be able to vote. Will the voting process be suppressed, or will it be more liberal to allow people to vote? Number two is the use of judges. When you mention the Supreme Court, most people don't pay a lot of attention to it, but in a lot of places in the United States, New Jersey isn't one of them, judges are elected.
Right.
And so with this heavily overlay on trying to influence the Secretary of State and how they administer elections and how judges rule. So the chess game that Mitch McConnell played, I think, with Donald Trump, because people would say, well, how could he go along with some of this stuff that Trump is doing and saying? And he had one mission and one mission only. He wanted to control the kind of jurists that sit on the Supreme Court, and he did that. And so the dividends for the Republican Party in terms of the case against abortion, no one thought that would ever be dealt, we thought that was a finished issue in the United States. But because he was focused on how he could get control of the kind of jurists that sit there, that leaves a lot of things that we thought were settled in the Supreme Court unsettled right now. So those issues could come up. But then even more than that, and according to the New York Times articles in yesterday's paper, I was just intrigued by some of the articles that there's millions of dollars that go into every election, but there are millions of dollars going into these elected judges around the country. So there's a certain type of judge that gets elected that will carry what many people view as conservative political views on the bench. People just assume that we're a country of laws and that politics doesn't overlay the judiciary. At least that's the assumption and the appearance that the American public and American power establishment tries to say that we're a nation of laws and not of political opinions, but if you have justices who are being financed by people who have a particular point of view, it's going to be very interesting what kind of decisions you get on the local level, on the state level, and then you go to
and
your appellate.
And on the federal, yeah.
So when it finally gets to the Supreme Court, you may have a certain philosophy that's predominating, then that's what your outcome might be. And so it may touch some of the freedoms that you talked about.
Exactly. Now, speaking of which, I want to get into that a little bit, because here, and clarify this for me, if you will, it seemed since when Biden took office, of course, and I know, you know, the Democrats controlled both, all of Congress, if you will. What about the old, I haven't heard much talk of this, and maybe you could tell us why, but the stacking of the deck for the Supreme Court, because to me, you kind of knew what was going to be the outcome. You know how it seems to me, and again, this is just from the, you know, let's just chat about it, but it seemed to me that with former President Trump, you know, he loaded the deck, if you will, with the extremist viewpoint folks who would, of course, support and stack as many of those judges all over the country that he could. You know, with this mindset that you just outlined, outlaid before. So my thing is, why could we not? And when I say we, I mean why could the Democrats could not load the add the number of Supreme Court justices? Because is that impossible to do? Because I think
no,
it was a big
to do. So
a lot of it
has to do with political will. A lot of it has to do with tradition and whether or not the Democratic Party is willing to challenge those deep-seated traditions. And you know, you have some people in government, both Democrats and Republicans, are institutionalists. They believe the way the government was framed should always remain that way and that they've been able to negotiate themselves out of all kinds of quagmires. However, you know, when you're at a stalemate, when you have, you know, people's point of view where, you know, one point of view is prevailing, and then there are some Democrats who agreed with the Republicans. You know, we talk about Sinema and Joe Manchin. The majority was so razor thin that they, you know, and Manchin views himself as a traditionalist and an institutionalist, so that they would not change the Constitution to add more justices. Biden tried to soften the blow, if you will, by setting up a commission to look at if expansion of the court would be a necessary one. The other thing, the other thing that people were counting on, and people thought who were institutionalists and traditionalists, that the idea, the legal concept of precedent, when issues were settled in the Supreme Court, it's not been part of the historical record in America that those things get changed. And so
exactly, we thought the impression that it was just incontrovertible that it was impossible
to
change.
We have to understand though, in the law, if it can be given, it can be taken away. That's just a reality that we're facing. That if something can be given by a court or a legislative body, and we saw it with this, what was happening in the Supreme Court, it can be taken away. So one of the other burning issues that's before the court is this whole idea of affirmative action. And so, so one of the remedies, and people don't know, it was a Republican president, Richard Nixon, who fostered the idea of affirmative action. And even the whole idea of minority business set-asides and all those kinds of things, that wasn't an invention of the Nixon administration to try to create what they call black capitalism so that more people of color could enter the economic part of the American society. And also, you know, the war on poverty pushed this idea of how do we get people who have traditionally been locked out of American society by employment and jobs and training and education, how do we try to level the playing field so that people who were locked out of those opportunities get a chance to participate? So affirmative action was created because to kind of counteract what blatant discrimination or blatant racism so that people can get an opportunity to participate and so forth. So now that's now becoming the question. Like, we have now become a colorblind society where none of those issues are important anymore. And that's what the court, if you listen to the argument that his court is making. And so in this post-Obama society where they figure that a black man has reached the presidency, that affirmative action is no longer necessary. And there have been black achievers even during the worst time in American society. You had Ralph Bunche, who was the UN ambassador at a time when it was blatant discrimination all over this country. But so there's always going to be people, despite the odds, who are going to make it in various fields, whether it's medicine, law, but that's a minority. That's more of an exception than the rule. And so, you know, through the years, and at least in my lifetime, I lived through was born in the 50s, lived through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s up till now. So you saw a gradual participation of blacks, Latinos, women getting opportunities and also getting qualified for those opportunities to serve. And affirmative action was this an idea out there that helped, you know, lessen the load. But now they're saying that's not going to be, and it looks like, at least the way I'm looking at some of the various opinions. And then, you know, this whole issue of diversity came out in the court discussion. So do we believe as a society that it is good to have all kinds of people in all kinds of positions because it helps make the society more geared toward its goal of equality? And I'll give you an example. Even in the Pennsylvania race with Dr. Oz and John Fetterman. So the question becomes, can Fetterman function because he had a stroke, a disability? But should we have people with disabilities in the government? Isn't that point of view a necessary point of view in government? I'm surprised that people haven't shifted the frame to say, wait a minute, Fetterman represents Americans, or there's, you know, probably millions of Americans who are impacted by their health. And that means because you got a health challenge that you can't sit in the United States Senate. Isn't it important to have somebody who has lived and experienced dealing with a health challenge as he deliberates through health care issues that impact people? He's been through the hospital system.
Well, Wayne, I want to jump in because this is a huge race in Pennsylvania. And Fetterman, to me, where even to comprehend the questions that were being asked of him by the reporter, it all had to be kind of teleprompted. And so that is the question, whether or not he can do the job in office. And I certainly, for me personally, I believe he absolutely can. That's my thinking. But they are definitely, Dr. Oz, it seems like there is this, it's a huge race. It's a huge race in Pennsylvania, and it's a very important one. You know, I don't know. This is a tough one to call, but I want to talk about some of these other high profile races that some of the individuals who just kind of, I don't even know what the word is. I want to describe a couple of folks who have become quite prominent in and out of our community, and to get your feedback on them. And we can bring the panel in a little bit on this as well. When I bring up the race that's happening in Georgia, one of the races, the Senate race in Georgia.
Right.
I have got to, I want to say the name Herschel Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what comes to mind with Herschel Walker? And can you describe this race with Warnock down there,
yes,
please?
So my analysis of the race, just to talk about Herschel Walker, in my estimation, Herschel Walker has not prepared himself to be a public figure and deal with the political. Yeah,
okay.
He has not prepared
why
himself.
Why do you feel that way?
So yeah. He has not prepared himself to serve in public life at whatsoever. And so popularity, you know, so we have to wonder if pop culture popularity, sports popularity is the only thing that prepares you for public office. If so, you got name recognition. And so that's a cardinal rule in American politics. If you're going to win an election, whether it's on the local level or the national level, you do have to have name recognition, some kind of profile that people at least recognize your name because that gets your attention. But then the next step is, do you either have the background or the policy ideas that will move the country forward to deal with the complexity of the issues that you have to deal with in the United States Senate? And have you had the training coming up in your career? So Herschel Walker was a great football player. In fact, he worked for Donald Trump. I think he played for the Generals when Trump owned the team. So, but is that the only? So here's the difference. Bill Bradley, who played for the New York Knicks in New York, great basketball player, but graduate of Princeton University, definitely a policy wonk. Different dynamics. So if you compare Bill Bradley to Herschel Walker, who is best prepared to serve in the United States Senate? You know, Bradley took a run at the presidency. Now, to compare Herschel Walker to the articulate activist Raphael Warnock, to me, is a travesty. And to Reverend Warnock's credit, he has taken the high road. He is not.
He's been very respectful.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect for a pastor to try to do the right thing. There's no perfect person. But the reality is he's taken a very high road with Herschel Walker. But I think President Obama framed the issue for me very clear to anybody, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, whatever you are. President Obama said, listen, Herschel Walker was a great football player. Heisman Trophy winner, all of that. But here's the analogy. If I'm going to a surgeon, I want to go to the top surgeon, the best surgeon I can, and just because a person is popular and he played on the football field, does not mean he's qualified to perform that operation. And it's very similar to having the background to be a United States Senator. So it has nothing to do with him being an athlete whatsoever. There are plenty, I'm sure if you look at the background of the senators, there are probably some of them who played college sports and did all kinds of things. There are a few professional sports players that have done well in government. I point out one in former senator who represented New Jersey, in fact, Bill Bradley. So, it's not a shock jock thing that an athlete can't be a politician. He can. But you have to have the background, the training, the policy ideas to do an adequate job, and even to run a campaign. I mean, it's the guy pulls out his fake badge. I guess he was going to arrest the people that didn't vote for him. I don't know.
Right. Well, we saw that, and I tell you, I mean, I used to love getting those little badges in the Cracker Jack box. You know, when I was a kid, I used to love that. That meant everything to me. So I understand Herschel's I understand his position on that. Speaking of Georgia, I do want to, before we leave Georgia, they've got a gubernatorial rematch down there with Stacey Abrams and the fellow down there, Hampton. What can we say? Are we pulling, do you think Stacey will be able to pull it out this go-round?
Well, she has a shot. You know, if you listen to the pollsters, they say it's kind of neck and neck, but they say Governor Kemp is in charge. But here's, the Hair Radio crowd could make a difference, because I was just reading an article about all these social media influencers in the New York Times. There are campaigns, both Democrats and Republicans, who are playing significant social media influencers to encourage people to get out there and vote for, to take certain policy positions. But there is no better place to get people engaged in the election than the beauty salon and the barbershop. And President Obama used both of them to engage the vote. So I would tell all of your constituents in the hair community, that, you know, there's only a few days left, but everybody that comes to get a haircut, to get their hair, hair, as they say, hair did, to encourage their people, say, listen, I'm going to tighten this head up real good, but make sure you get out there and vote on Election Day. Or if you got early voting in the state that you're in, make sure you leave the salon and go vote, or leave the barbershop and go vote, because that could make the pivotal difference, you know. And if you've ever been involved in local politics, and I had the opportunity to serve 3 terms as a mayor of a city, one of the things that you'll find out in grassroots politics is that sometimes people won't vote unless somebody they trust, respect, or know asks them to. You can have all the advertising in the world, but if your neighbor says, you know what, I think Bill Jones is the best guy for this job, but I need you to get out and vote for him. It's important to our neighborhood. It's important to our community. Some people will go out and vote. The groundswell of support, and we've never seen that in the black community as more as when Obama ran for president. So you had, you know, the boys on the block for the first time registered, and for the first time in history, some of them voted. Some of them never came back to the polls again. But in Georgia, whether it's the water boys who sell water on the street to people, if all those folks who got out and voted for President Obama, Stacey Abrams will win that election. And so it's the last final crusade that we have. She has a shot. You know, I do want to mention this about Pennsylvania while we're on the air, Carrie. Fetterman did receive a very significant endorsement yesterday.
Oh,
tell us about
it. Yeah, and guess who it was?
Who?
Oprah Winfrey.
Really?
She came out for Fetterman. You know, of course, you know, Oz got his start on TV through her and her production company.
That,
her production
so that
company
says a
actually,
lot.
Yeah, but she came out publicly. She said she wasn't going to get involved because, you know, she had her feelings, but she also, I guess, knew Oz. So she said she was going to stay out of it. But the election is so critical.
Well, let me tell you, the folks, and this is important. Folks look at this with the side eye. I'm sorry, we love Oprah, but people are giving her the side eye because they kind of hold her responsible for introducing Dr. Oz to our country. And so, but we do kind of hold her responsible.
Yeah, but people have a tendency. So no one knew at that time what his political views
were. No, we didn't know. We can't blame Oprah.
Yeah. It's just like, listen, there were many New Yorkers who dealt with Donald Trump for years until the situation happened with the young men who were accused of the Central Park 7.
Right,
he did those full-paid ads that we began to see his scurrilous political views.
Yeah, and let me just, because I'm a New Yorker, and let me just officially say that I was one of those individuals who was, you know, early on, before we knew the Donald Trump that we know today, he would make guest appearances on The View and other shows, and he was always witty.
Mm-hmm.
He was very witty and funny and this and that. So we did not know, but you're absolutely right. That's when we kind of got a clue, and it kind of grew out from there.
So we can't. We can't yeah. So so
on.
Oprah, you know, we got to give Oprah a pass on that because obviously
we can't
she didn't
blame
know.
Oprah. We love Oprah. Yeah.
Yeah. She couldn't know where Oz was going with his political aspirations.
No.
And sometimes people shift because they think that's going to get them where they want to go. And I think Trump was one of. I don't think Trump believes
in
anything.
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, here's the deal for today. And I love this, Wayne. You really, wow, you came in today. And that's all I can say. You came in today. Now, we're going to take a little tiny break. When we come back, I'm going to go around the panel. I'm going to have everybody, because I know they're dying to ask you a question as well about any of this. And I want you to kind of go through a little bit on the importance of getting the folks to vote in our community. Folks often say, well, we'll vote for the president, if that, and that's it. And so we want to kind of, you know, really get, you know, why it's so critical. Because, like, you know, but that's all. Because, listen, if I jump in, I will take you all the way to 9 o'clock. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. And when we come back, I'm going to lead off with Nicole Marie can ask her question and Dr. Paul Dyer. And we'll give Michael the last word. But so we got a lot more to get into this morning. I wish that we could talk a little bit about the disenfranchisement, the formerly, you know, formerly imprisoned individuals. And, I mean, it's just so much to unpack.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. And, but we're glad to have you, our guest again, Wayne Smith, who will be with us not just today, but next Friday as well in the same space. And we're going to really get this, you know, because we can't, this is too much to unpack in one show anyway. So we'll be talking about the after effects of all this next week. But let's take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to lead in with Nicole Marie when we come back as well, and Dr. Paul Dyer. Michael Hopkins, myself, we're going to be going in. Wayne Smith is our special guest today. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Let's see, where can we get our commercial on? Okay, there we go.
Root Rock Salon. Healthy roots, healthy hair. Our expert stylists will help you shine naturally beautiful. We offer everything from hydrating shampoo, conditioning hair masks, oil steam treatments to lock in the cuticle and an array of natural styles and programs to promote healthy hair growth using professional products. Book your consultation today online at RootsRockSalon.com. Visit us at 72 Harrison Avenue, West Orange, New Jersey, or call us at 973-957-7800.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes. Hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful and moreover to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage. And moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media. We're a business that's just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. Awesome. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
Organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, we're back live. It's Wednesday. No, it's Friday morning, November 4th. Again, Friday, November 4th of 2022. Let me just get everybody back in to our on the mic this morning. It's our show number 781 here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got Nicole Marie, my co-star, out of Water Valley, Mississippi. We've got the incredible Dr. Paul Dyer, who comes to us from out in Maryland. My very special guest today, of course, is Wayne Smith, and Michael Hopkins is going to be in with the last word in just a bit. Wayne, thank you so much for dropping by this morning. We so appreciate it, helping us to break down everything. And it's a tall order. There are so many different angles to this whole thing. It really is. There's a lot going on with this election. There's a lot going on politically. And I know I want to lead in with some of our incredible co-hosts here, Ms. Nicole Marie, and some of the panel may have some things to say. So, Nicole Marie, go ahead and take it away.
Thank you, Carrie. Good morning again, Wayne. Good morning. You were the first interview that I conducted when I became the co-host of the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, that's
and
not
I
right.
Just thank you. Yes, right. I want to thank you so much for being so gracious and making me feel so comfortable during that interview. So I just wanted to do that in real quick.
You're quite welcome. Wow.
I just wanted to say, here in my community, I'm on the front line. I serve on the city council, and I've been out talking to people for months and months, getting people registered to vote, talking about voting and so forth. But what advice could you give about talking to those people who are still apathetic about voting and still believe that our vote does not count?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So when you talk to people, everything, I always tell people, I said, you know what? Yeah, I understand you don't want to participate in politics, but politics is participating on you if you don't participate in it. And so whatever you do, if you got a driver's license or if you want to get a driver's license, it's run by the government. Where you get that driver's license at is determined by the government. So if it's 100 miles away or if it's around the corner from your house, it's determined by the government. And so if you don't vote, did they say,
exactly.
Well, the people over here who vote, you know, we put the place over here, they're more likely to vote for us because those people over there don't vote. They don't make a difference. They not. And so, you know, what happens is people are spending millions of dollars in two directions. One, to get you to vote for their candidate. And then other people are spending millions of dollars to stop you from voting. So it must be something to it. Your folks don't spend money, and it's really an investment. They don't invest money on things unless that's important enough. So if people are, one, spending millions and millions of dollars to get you to vote a certain way, and then those who they figure won't vote their way, they're spending millions of dollars to stop you from voting, there's got to be something to it. And I think, you're doing it the best way. I was telling earlier with Carrie saying that, you know, we got to get that almost Obama presence out there for the election because, and that's why they pulled Obama out the campaign to hopefully to stir
right.
up some of that. Because we got to get people, whoever gets people who don't traditionally vote, who get more of the reason why Trump won the presidency, he stirred up a group of people who were complaining and moaning but weren't participating in the electoral process.
Exactly.
And no one could,
right.
That's why the pollsters couldn't find them. All their poll predictions about Hillary Clinton and all of that is your usual suspects. Pollsters typically poll
yeah.
people who vote all the time. So me and you, they call us up. They, you know, they know what direction we're going if we get in the poll.
Right.
But when people, like younger people, they haven't had a voter history yet. So if they come out in masses, they could determine the direction of the country. That's what made Bernie Sanders such a force in the Democratic primary. The traditional Democrats didn't know, you know, that these young people were like, they were listening to Bernie. And they came out, so Bernie became a powerful force in the country. So whoever can wake up new voters at a mass number, because the traditional Democrats, the traditional Republicans, and that's why the battleground, you know, no matter what both parties say, who they always say they're after, we're after the independent, the swing voter, because they don't know how they're going to vote. So,
exactly.
So both parties spend a lot of money trying to persuade the swing voter. And so,
and
you know,
I want to talk a little bit about that too, Wayne. I want to talk about the money issue because it's about $1 billion has been spent almost already on this one election. And I want to work in Dr. Paul Dyer this morning. Dr. Paul Dyer, you've been listening to all of this. I know you have a question or two for our illustrious guest today, former New Jersey mayor for Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years, Wayne Smith. Dr. Paul Dyer comes to us from out of Maryland. Dr. Dyer, what would you like to say this morning?
Wayne Smith, I'm going to say thank you for the blessing that you've given these people, and I hope people just keep replaying the information you gave because it's so highly important to understand the factors of voting. And I think that's why people don't vote. They just not. We keep saying we need an educated voter, but when a person's working and taking transportation and getting on the bus and getting on the subways and trains and highways, they don't have the time to do the deep dive. So there's very few places for these people to trust to say, well, where do I go to get the information that I don't normally have through a commercial or social media so I can find out who to vote for? And so this is why the Hair Morning Radio Show is so important. And if people hear it, have them play it for someone else and say, I may not know everything, but I heard this morning. I heard this yesterday. Listen to this. And that's what people need to do to keep educated, but they don't have a place to go. I understand that. Like, you know, I'm a political junkie. I worked with Ralph Nader when he ran for presidency. I worked with so many different campaigns, and it's just so surprising when I knock on an African-American's door, and I'm like, are you voting today, the day of voting, right? They're like, well, who's running? And it shocks me to my core. Like, what do you mean you don't know who's running? But people have to vote like your ancestors died for it. And I'll say that again. You have to vote like your ancestors died for it. And what I mean by your ancestors, the people that were enslaved, the people that were indentured servants, the people who've been marginalized, the people who have been imprisoned because of a few joints or a dime bag of weed, and they got 10, 20 years of dragonious sentences by these judges, that has a lot to do with what you did not do at the polls. When you're talking about, I want to start a business, and you don't know how to pay your taxes because of the taxation laws, that's because you didn't take the time to vote. I want to start a business. Do you know what it takes to start a business? It's not just a plan. It's who's the commission that's going to give you the licenses. All these things are voting issues. If you don't want to pay the amount of money you're paying at the transportation or your train, that's voting.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. How's Westmore going to do in Maryland, Doc?
You know, Westmore's going to win. And when you mention Oprah, it's funny because Oprah came out and supported him, and Obama supported him and did a PSA for him, and Hillary did for him. I'm with the Westmore campaign. I help him do a couple of things and things like that. I'm with the Transformative Justice Coalition. Mm-hmm. So we it's still about information, because the person he's running against, Dan Cox, besides, I'm not even talking about how he's a Trump supporter, but he denied the January 6th the issues. So, I mean, but we are still talking about losing the House. This midterm election, like you said, this is a presidential election term. We're going to lose the House. And if we lose the House, we're more likely going to lose 2024. And that, and if we lose 2024 to the Republican Party, which it, I, the way I'm projecting, it looks like we're going to, that means Judge Alito and Judge Thomas is going to retire, and that president is going to put in two more conservative judges. Appoint two more conservative judges. That's going to take us to the next 30, 40 years.
I couldn't have laid it out. Dr. Dwyer did a phenomenal job in laying out the case why it's important for folks to vote. And then the other thing I would like to add is just that, Carrie, you mentioned this in one of your questions, was the down ballot. So we're talking about the judiciary. There are a lot of judges. There are district attorneys on the ballot. The Republicans are trying to frame the whole conversation about crime. And, you know, obviously crime is an issue wherever we live.
Right.
And it's always been an issue in mostly every campaign I've ever known. But the reality is those other people and those down ballots, even beyond the congressional seats, have an impact on the quality of life you're going
to
have. And so you need to vote at every level. Vote for your congressman and your U.S. senator, but vote down ballot, because those down ballots, particularly around if you have elections for judges, and Dr. Dwyer couldn't have said it better. The number one challenge that we have as a society, particularly in the African American community, is where do you get credible information from? So let me just kind of overlay, having been a practitioner of how you get your message out. So the number one place that generally in the black community that people would get what they thought was credible information was from their religious house of worship, whether it was the church, the masjid, the mosque, wherever you went for your religious instruction. That's where you got some healthy discussion about civics and public policy. And so, I mean, I've seen Jamal Bryant, a bunch of others involved in the Georgia race come out. But people have to educate people about the public issues as the day. So wherever you worship, that could be a foundation stop. Now we've got a whole lot of folks who don't worship at all. So the key is, how do we get on the ground? So there's been plenty of – that's where the progressives are pretty good at. But the question is, do progressives have – a focus in black and brown neighborhoods, because whether it's activists, we have to be on the ground, because the newspaper industry is dying. So if people are not, we still have a digital divide in our society. And in fact, one of my
Go ahead, Wayne. Finish your thought, please.
So one of my business projects I'm working on is bringing broadband to underserved communities around the country, even talking to municipalities about doing their own broadband network. We found out during the pandemic that, if people didn't have jobs, they couldn't keep their internet service up. So kids who had to rely on internet services in their home, if their parents lost their job or couldn't get to work and they couldn't pay the bill, well, Comcast and AT&T and all these other folks, they're based on you paying your monthly bill. So some people got shut off, and kids didn't have access to their you could try to run to a library where they have it. Rural areas, and I'm sure Nicole Marie can tell us more about places like Mississippi, where they have lack of broadband in rural areas, period. So we have a lot of fronts to fight on and get information, and that is the number one challenge that Dr. Dwyer laid out. We have an information deficit with all the information in the world. We're in an information age, but we still have an information deficit. People don't know there's elections still.
I want to jump in on that point, because this is something that is big as well. And talk about constituencies out there. What about the voting block of the military folks? Michael Hopkins, he's been standing by listening, and I know he's chomping at the bit. Michael, I'm going to have you to jump right on in. You're going to have the last word this morning. You're on with Wayne Smith. Michael Hopkins is the host of the Vet Talk radio show. You know this, on Tuesday mornings right here on our network. Michael, you've been tuned into the whole show. You've been listening. What would you like to say to Wayne Smith this morning?
Well, Mr. Mayor, one of the issues that a lot of us as military people have was that January 6th day. And that is still burning in a lot of us, that January 6th. And the way I see it, it was so pivotal for this country. And that's going to influence a lot of us as former military and current military on the way we're going to vote, even for voting for this, you know, the midterm and the presidency. Because a lot of us, you know, that one incident, it's almost like for a lot of us it's like a slap in the face. You serve your country. We did all these fantastic things. Yes, you gave us the PACT Act, but we're still rocking and reeling with the events of January the 6th. I've been in both places. I've been law enforcement. I've been military. So, you know, I hear some of the people where I live here in the Virginia area.
We're going to start to wind down. So, yeah, please go ahead, ask your question, Michael, to make sure.
Right. Yeah, that's my question to you, Mr. Mann. This January 6th event.
Well, so that's so never in our history that we've seen where a sitting president appeared to be complicit in the attacking of his own government. Even if, you know, even you lose the election, whatever the case may be, we've never had that kind of what was, you know, an insurrection type thing. So, you know, many veterans who have put themselves on the line for the country have got to question people who would even allow a climate for that exist without condemning it appropriately, by telling your followers that's not the way to go. You know, we have to convince people that our point of view is better than theirs. That's what American politics is, convincing people that your point of view is the best point of view for the country. And you can't take it. You can't create a revolutionary war again. This is not Britain that we're fighting. There's established history and ways of doing things in this society that most people find acceptable. So, you know, I hope the veterans come out. And even the active military come out and express their point of view about this, because it's important. In fact, it's the military that showed us how to do early voting and vote by mail, because they were away in country. So, you know, the Republican philosophy about not allowing vote by mail and all of that, for years the military, because they were stationed all over the world. That's how they voted and expressed their participation. So it was a way of expanding the democracy. And I want to thank the veterans who participated in that process, because they really laid out a model for how we get more people engaged, as Dr. Dwyer said, to make it easier. If you know, before just getting to the polls on election day, if you work 100 miles away from your site but you got to go to work every day, you don't get home till midnight, you can't vote. But if you can vote early or if you can vote by mail, at least eliminates the process of people. We want to expand democracy, and I think that's what you – went to, you know, represented both in the military to fight for our country, but also as a law enforcement officer, and I have law enforcement members in my family. You know, you get up every day trying to make sure the world is a safer place, and you want more people to participate in it, not limit their participation. So I hope that everyone, you know, hears our cry all over Hair Radio land and gets out and gets family, because it starts with family, it starts with friends, it starts with neighbors.
And when you'll be back with us, you will be back with us 1 week from today.
Yes.
And we'll be after the election. We're going to really wrap it up and tell us what's next and what are we going to do.
All right.
We don't get into all that next week. Listen, I want to thank you for being an outstanding guest, as always, Wayne Smith.
All righty. Have a great day, everyone.
We'll get more into, more of what you're doing out there. We want to remind everybody, you are a businessman. You also present a lot of information out there to folks, so we appreciate what you're doing. We're going to have to get you back here for a much more extended time next week.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I am Cammie Love, Kid Entrepreneur, and I made a book about children's hygiene and hygiene in general and kids going to the hair salon. You should buy my book, and I encourage you to buy my book because it is inspiring to young child authors, and it is inspiring to young girls and young boys and young children.
That's 11-year-old author Cammie Love and her book, Cammie's Spa Party. It's on sale today at Amazon. Pick up this amazing book for young minds, Cammie's Spa Party.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. Awesome. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us. You guys have met her before. I call her the queen of plant-based cooking. Of course, we're talking about the one and only Jackrabbit Eats. Good morning, and welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Jackie.
Good morning. Good morning, Carrie.
Yes, we're excited to have you back, as you can hear. First of all, there's so much to get into with food, and this is something that we've always wanted to cover. It's here in the Northeast. I'm in New York, as you know, in Brooklyn area, and it's starting to get a little bit on the chilly side here in our area. And I said, oh, my, this always brings to mind warm comfort foods, if that makes any sense. And I said, but you, being the vegan plant-based cooking expert, I didn't think that comfort foods were something that were available to plant-based cooking folks. So can you tell me how all that works, Jackie?
Sure. I love comfort food. And, you know, anything that I eat, and that I ate in the past, I'm going to have to eat in the present now, being a plant-based eater right now. So we have a lot of comfort food. I mean, you know, living in the Midwest now is colder. And I don't know about in your area, but our cold comes pretty fast here. Our fall season comes pretty fast. Sometimes it feels like winter. But some of the things that I like to eat during this time of year, I like to get into my soups and my stews and, you know, my pastas. You know, one of my favorites would be the mac and cheese that I fixed that's, you know, from raw.
I'm excited to hear about this. So, folks out there, this is called the vegan mac and cheese with plant-based cooking expert Jack Rabbit Eats. We're so excited about this because, first, I totally didn't know that you can make mac and cheese in a vegan style. So am I just behind the times, or is this something new?
No, it's actually it's nothing new. You know, nowadays we have, before vegan or plant-based got really popular, you know, we didn't have all the cheeses, the plant-based cheeses and things that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So long before we even had that, my mother used to make her own plant-based cheese, and she made it out of raw cashews, not the roasted, not anything with salt on it, but the raw cashews.
Walk us through this. So what exactly is I never heard of plant-based cheese. Is that something I could slice and throw on a burger? No, just kidding. what is plant-based cheese?
Yeah, actually you can. Like I said, on the market now, you can find.
Oh, I was just kidding.
Cheese.
Wow, Jackie.
Cheese. Yeah. But what I make is not anything that I would buy out of the grocery store. I have to actually make it myself for my mac and cheese.
All right. So here we are. Everybody, if you're just tuning in, this is a great time to kind of, you know, get on board with what's happening today and try it at home. I am speaking with like I said, she's the queen of plant-based cooking. She's our specialist right here on the Hair Radio Show. We're talking about Jackrabbit Eats, and we're so excited to have her back on the show today. Now, she's here to talk all about vegan mac and cheese, and I am excited because there's so much to talk about with this. It's one of my favorite comfort foods. It is a staple in the black homes, literally, and I'm told in recent times, it's reached outside of our community. So everybody's loving mac and cheese. So first, Jackie from Jackrabbit Eats, can you tell us what makes vegan mac and cheese so very different than the traditional mac and cheese that we serve in our black homes? Tell us.
Oh, okay, sure. I mean, first of all, let's just keep it real. When we make mac and cheese in the traditional black way, we can have four or five different types of cheeses in there, you know.
Yeah.
And who doesn't love a good mac and cheese, like you said? It's one of your favorites, and it has always been one of my favorites, you know.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I do when I make my mac and cheese, like I said, I use the raw cashews, and, you know, you can soak them, or if you have a real good high-powered blender like a Vitamix that may be familiar to some of our audience out there. But usually I would soak some cashews, and these are things that I would add in it. I would add maybe some nutritional yeast flakes, and some of you may be familiar with it. You may not be, but I just want to let you know now it's different from yeast used in raisin bread, and it's not to be confused with the brown powder brewer's yeast. You know, this is, which is very bitter. The type of nutritional yeast I'm talking about is great tasting. It's grown on molasses, and it has a cheese-like flavor. And, you know, they're yellow, and what you want to do, you want to get brands that's rich in vitamin B12 and vitamin B. You know, there has to be vitamins in there. So basically, with this recipe, what I do, you just put all of this in a blender. You just dump it in a blender. So you put in the nutritional yeast. You put in the raw cashews, some salt, some onion powder, some garlic powder, and some lemon juice, and you're using some red bell pepper, and you're just blending this up. Now, you can change this cheese in so many different ways. It can be your cheese sauce for, like, nachos. You know, put a little jalapeno peppers in there, and it becomes like a little spice for those who like a little kick. But when you make this, like I said, you just blend it all up, get it really smooth, and you pour it over your cooked macaroni, whichever brand you like to use. you can either bake it or you can just, you know, cook it on top of the stove, just stir it a little bit, and there you have it, you know. I've also
That is amazing.
I forgot to tell you about the water that you add to it, or some people can add a
plant-based
milk as well.
Okay, well, let's talk about that a little bit first as well. But first, I'm going to kind of go back a little bit. You mentioned in terms of the nutritional yeast. Now, I've never heard of nutritional yeast. I don't think they serve it at my supermarket down the street in the hood, you know, in my hood here. Where on earth do I buy a nutritional yeast? If I go in that supermarket and say, do you guys have nutritional yeast? I can only imagine on those faces. They may have heard of it, but I've never heard of it. Where do you get nutritional yeast? Do you buy it online? And, you know, where do you get that?
That's a very good question, Carrie. And you can buy it in your local grocery stores. Now, I can't say all because, like I said, I'm in the Midwest. But you can, and you can order online, but you can find it at places like Whole Foods. You can find it you know.
Gotcha.
Grocery stores, like my grocery stores that I have here, you can find it. Like we have Cub Foods. So you can probably, if you have a Piggly Wiggly or if you have a
We don't have Piggly Wigglies here in New York, but I've heard of Piggly Wiggly. But but I do want to say we do have Whole Foods and places like that. You mentioned something about some flakes. What kind of flakes were those you were talking about?
Well, that's what it's called. It's called nutritional yeast, and they're flaky. I'm just trying to give
I see. Okay. Well, we're catching on. We're getting on slowly but surely. Okay. So the cheese, now, when you make your own cheese sauce, which I love. Mm-hmm. This is what this is. And you use raw cashews, nutritional yeast, salt, onions, and I think you said garlic as well?
Yeah, right. And the and the cashews and lemon juice and a bell pepper, the red bell pepper.
Yes,
not
our favorite.
Not the green, but the red.
Not the green.
Bitter. Yeah.
Yeah, the green is always a little bit bitter. I love them all. I can eat the, just interchangeably, but I noticed it's a little bit stronger, that green one. The lemon juice, and you mentioned water as well.
Right. You can put you put water in it. Sometimes I have put a unsweetened plant-based milk in it, you know, so you can use water because everybody, you know, if you don't have a plant-based milk, you will have some water on hand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. And so now that we know that those are the things that kind of is used to make the cheese sauce, so then do you just boil up some macaroni and throw it in the pan? Is that what we normally do, or is there a certain kind of macaroni that Jackrabbit used?
No, it's not a certain kind of macaroni. You use whatever macaroni you like, you know, elbow and spiral macaroni, wheat macaroni. So just whatever macaroni you like to use, you know. So
I'm loving elbow number 35. That's my favorite. Why is number 35? I have no idea, but I love it.
Right.
So that's what I buy. Now, but I do want to make this cheese sauce. And so if you guys are just tuning in, we're speaking with Jackrabbit Eats. Now, she's the queen of plant-based cooking, and we are so excited. Today, she's kind of reviewing with us about a vegan mac and cheese. Now, this is, again, the mac and cheese is the staple for black homes, special holidays, Sunday meals, pretty much any time. And I'm finding out today, Jackie, my very special guest here today, that this seems to me that the secret is in the sauce.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to give it the southern type pronunciation today, the sauce. The secret is in the sauce because if you're making that delicious plant-based cheese sauce, and you have just mentioned that you're using, like, raw cashews, which sound amazing, not with salt or roasted or anything like that, just plain raw cashews, nutritional yeast flakes. Again, nutritional yeast flakes you can pick up, like, Whole Foods or somewhere like that. You mentioned salt, onion, garlic, lemon juice, or water. Is it lemon juice and water or water?
No, it's and.
And.
And water.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, what about the types of, I know that you can kind of eyeball it, but are there any special sizes that we need to pay attention to? Should we add more cheese? Should, you know, is it a certain amount of the yeast flakes? You know, is there some certain sizes, or do we just kind of dump what we think in the pan? Well,
right, that's a good question. I mean, because I've been doing it for so long, and I just
you can
eyeball it,
Jackie.
Yeah, I can eyeball it. And, you know, the thing about cooking is a method, and it's according to taste. So the things that I mentioned, like onion powder and the garlic powder, you may feel like you want a little bit more onion powder, a little bit more garlic powder, a little bit more salt. But to give you specific measurements, I would say about 2 cups of water, maybe about 1/4 cup of chopped bell pepper, maybe 3 tablespoons of the nutritional yeast, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/2 to 1/4 teaspoon of I would say about 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder and maybe about 1/2 or 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, just depending on what you like. I like more garlic, so I tend to go more on the half side, 1/2 teaspoon. And like I said, 1 cup of raw cashews soaked. If you don't have a high-powered blender like the one I mentioned, like Vitamix, if you just have a regular blender, you know, soak the cashews because you want it to be creamy and not have, like, any piece. Texture to
any
it, you know.
Crunchy, yeah. You don't want like the crunchy peanut butter taste.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you know, and then the lemon juice, maybe about 1.5 teaspoons, you know, of lemon juice, because lemon juice wastes up the flavor. And then you just taste.
Well, what is it? The cheesy? Is it going to taste cheesy though?
Yeah, you know, what gives it the cheesy taste is the nutritional yeast. It has a cheesy-like flavor to it. And so that's what gives it the taste. Uh-huh, and the color, that cheesy-like color because of the yellow color. And sometimes you can add a little, just a tea bit of turmeric in it. It's like an Indian spice, and that just gives it another.
Yes, I keep turmeric.
A color to it, and when I say, you know, less than 1/4 teaspoon, just a little bit. And like I said, it has a very good taste, a very good flavor to it. Don't expect it to be like a regular mac and cheese, but trust me, I have served this mac and cheese to many non-plant-based eaters, and they all have loved it, you know. And play around with it. Because like
Go ahead, Jackie.
No, I was just saying it's a method. You know, I love spending time, you know, reading and cooking healthy meals and trying to come up with different type of healthy meals for my family. I mostly eat plant-based because of the healthier way it makes me feel. You know, this is a forever lifestyle change that I try to live. And so living a healthier lifestyle may seem like a tall order, but when you think about it, you know, whole foods is something that has always been a part of the original diet. You know, it always consisted of fruits, nuts, and grains. And I think that's the way nature intended it to be. And that's probably why we feel so much better. So I try to think of plant-based food made simple and good for you to eat. And so that's why I said this is a simple recipe. It's good. So I try to think about it as eating well, living well, and being well. And, you know.
And just on that note, it's pretty well. Well, first, I have to say thank you so much for just really shining a light on this and introducing plant-based cooking to us. Now, I do want to kind of go back a little bit, Jackie, before we let you go this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, we're talking with Jackrabbit Eats. She's the queen of plant-based cooking, and today she's going over vegan mac and cheese, and we're so excited she gave us all this incredible recipe. Now, I'm hoping that you will put all of this on your very own Hair Radio online community pages. You have your own community group page that folks can follow your recipes and all the wonderful things on what you're cooking and what's next and this and that. Simply go to www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com. Has one R in the middle, like hair on your head and radio that you listen to. There, you'll see along our tabs, we're so excited, we have a tab that reads as the forum, or a big button that says there, read articles and all of that. Once you click on that button, it'll take you right to all the different category pages, group pages like Jackrabbit Eats and so many others. And we're so excited because, Jackie, I'm hoping you'll put this recipe there.
Sure, I can actually do that. I would love to put that recipe there. And, you know, I'm in the midst of working on the ebook and doing more videos. And so one of the things that I'm going to do is if the video is not too long, I'm going to cut it down so you can actually see what it looks like. To me, a visual is always
great. Well, we're going to put some pictures on. Yes, and until you do that, we can put pictures of the delicious plant-based cooking. Cheese, vegan mac and cheese. So that'll be really awesome. Well, listen, as always, we're going to be checking in with you quite a bit as we move along here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are so excited to have you with us. And we're shouting out Michael and your entire team. He's a great support with all this. And we just love having him here as well to just keep you motivated and doing all these wonderful things for us here, Jackie. So thank you, Jack Rabbit.
Thank you. And I would like to give a few little shout-outs before I leave. I want to shout-out to my mom, Betty, and, of course, like you said, my husband, who's a good supporter, G, my children, my friends, and, you know, my sister Ann and my brother George and J.W.
Oh, please. Just extend our well wishes, especially this time of year. So listen, Jackie, thank you so much. Again, Jackrabbit Eats, guys. Go to Hair Radio Online Community and continue to follow Jackie again at hairradio.com. I'm Carrie Hines with Jackrabbit Eats. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Jackie. Great.
Welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Carrie, over to you.
All right, thank you, Angela. And we are live. It's Tuesday morning, November 8th of 2022. It's our Hair Radio Show number 782. So show number 782, it's mid-broadcast. It's about 7:42 on the East Coast and 6:42 if you're out in Central Time Zone. We're kind of, you know, it's election day here in New York. So, well, it's election day for the midterms, and it's just been crazy all over the land. So we are kind of just pushing and shoving and getting things going for you guys this morning. So let me just get on our amazing panel of folks that we have. Of course, Michael Hopkins, who comes to us live from Spotsylvania, Virginia. You'll hear from Michael about 8:30 as well. Michael, good morning with the Vet Talk Radio Show. Really
good morning,
Carrie.
Good morning,
Carrie. Yeah.
Good
yes.
morning. Happy mid show.
Yeah, it's mid-show. We're so excited. And we're going to talk. We got a lot to go over this morning, so we are really excited. Let me get on our wonderful queen of candles. You guys know Blue. We got a lot to cover this morning, so we're going to just got to get on in there. Blue, Michael, officially happy mid-show. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Really excited to have you guys on. Yes. So before we get into all the election talk, I don't know if you guys heard that song, but that was none other than the amazing James Brown. So if you're a James Brown fan, I thought it was the only song that would fit today's broadcast. I really did. I said, well, I think this is the closest I can come to an America election song. So really good stuff, you know. So, you know, how are you guys doing today? And Blue, how are you doing down in Jacksonville, Florida?
I am doing great, Carrie. Thank you so much. It is a beautiful, beautiful day here in Jacksonville, Florida. The weather is cool, feels good.
Ooh,
everybody's getting ready
nice.
For Nicole. You know how that is.
Yes, well, like New York, it's a ride. It was super hot yesterday, and literally I had to dig out my winter coat to go out and vote this morning. So we are going to talk about all of that. Michael Hopkins, great to have you with us. We're going to talk with you in just a bit about the Vet Talk Show and what's coming up a little later this morning because Veterans Day is Monday. And your episode today and then next Tuesday will be past Veterans Day. So today we're going to talk about that and get into so much stuff. I mean, my goodness, I've got an action-packed week for you guys. Just want to remind everybody, before we go on, I don't want to forget, don't forget to tune in every day this week. I have TV superstars joining us. Of course, Jasmine Guy, you guys know her from A Different World. She will be with us on Thursday of this week. Then Friday, we have, you guys know him from the Parkers, Professor Ogilvy joins us. And then on Tuesday of next week, we have Kyle from Living Single. So it's our 90s TV stars. They're all starring in a big, big new movie that's out on BET+. And I'm going to have all the details for you.
Amazing.
So this is Ham Radio Morning. So this is where the stars come to.
This is where the action is. Oh, yeah.
Folks don't know, but I think they're starting to get the idea. We welcome folks Dionne Warwick, Melba Moore, Allison Williams, Tony Terry. The list goes on and on. So this is where the folks come to. So listen, Blue, I've got to talk to you about the candles. I need the most scented candle I can find today because I'm so, like, all over, you know, the place running around and trying to get out to take care of my dog, take care of the votes that I had to do the right today's show, prepare so much. So is there a candle that I can get today, a scent, an idea of a scent that will center me? And so we're talking to Blue, who's the CEO of our favorite DivineEnergyCandles.com. Blue, what do you say?
Well, Carrie, what I say is, when I thought of this scent today, I wasn't thinking about, you know, I was thinking about the season, autumn and fall.
Okay,
you know?
Weren't thinking about Carrie's day.
Hey, look, I got that scent ready, so you know, I had to be thinking about you. However, the scent is a hotly demanded scent anyway, though, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's a ooey gooey campfire marshmallow scent,
This
scent captures the nostalgia of an evening campfire after a day of autumn adventure. Now, this crisp note of ozone and eucalyptus stimulates an evening chill, followed by a strong heart of marshmallow and sugar put over a base of embers, oak, and smoke. Now, this scent will put you in the mood of being over a campfire for sure. And we have the top notes of eucalyptus and ozone, the middle notes of marshmallow and sugar, and that base note we have patchouli, ember, smoke, and oak. So if you got your marshmallows ready and you got that fire going, let's go on and have a campfire.
This is it. I love it. I tell you, that comes into a close second for me. That's exactly what I needed to become just centered. So if I can't just sit still, then a campfire, I'm on my way. I love it. Now, Blue, I want to ask you about that. So tell us, you know, because you have a ton of sense. And I love how you come on the show, mid-show. We kind of use you to kind of help center us and get our day kind of going. The folks love your candle of the day. You always give a scent of the day. And for you guys out there who are new to Blue, simply go to DivineEnergyCandles.com. And you got a lot of scents there, different wonderful eclectic, all kind of things there that you will find something that you like, and you also can blend things in a custom way for folks. So this is really exciting what
Absolutely.
You do over there every day.
So
we love it. Yes. So I'm excited. Now, you always describe something as top notes and middle notes. Can you just tell, today we have a lot of folks that looks like who are joining us for the first time. So when you describe these beautiful scented candles, you always give a wonderful description. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, sure, Carrie. That top note. When I describe to you a top note, I'm talking about as soon as you light your candle, what you're going to smell first. And when I say top note with this campfire, that eucalyptus smell, like that fresh air scent, you know, you want to clear your mess. You know, eucalyptus has a little menthol and all that great stuff to help clear your sinuses. That's what's going to hit your nose first when you light that candle. And then when you light it, have it lit for a little bit, the middle note's going to come through, and that's that sweet marshmallow and sugar. The sweet scent of the marshmallow and sugar is going to hit you right away as well. But the top and middle note aren't far from each other. And then after it's burnt probably 15 minutes, you're going to get that patchouli, the smoke scent, and that oak scent. And with them combined, that awesome campfire marshmallow scent coming through, because you have hints of vanilla in that as well. So
I'm just blown away.
And the oak gives you that toasty, roasty smell that you're going to get. That's going to make you feel like you're at a campfire.
Toasty, roasty. I'm leaving you alone this morning, Blue.
Yeah, I like that. Toasty, roasty. I like that.
Toasty, roasty marshmallow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Let me tell you something. I got to tell you guys. Michael, I don't know about you. Michael and I both are from North Philadelphia. Now, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. And I can say at my family house, Michael, we did not have any money. So I remember we couldn't go out to the campfire. So we'd have tons of marshmallows. And my siblings and I, we would literally turn on the stove and melt those marshmallows right up. Is that not crazy?
Yep.
But that's what we
Hey, gas heat can't be beat.
I'll use a skewer and burn it right there as I sit in my living room with a lighter, a skewer, and two marshmallows.
Well, some of us had, I tell you, some of us had radiators, okay, in the old days, and we literally would put them on the mid.
We've done all that stuff. This is when we just couldn't afford to go out to those camps. We couldn't get to the campground just at that time. But let me tell you something, we had fun. So listen, Blue, I'm excited. I want to remind everybody that you come on mid-show. So about 7:30 if you're on the East Coast. If you're in Central Time Zone, usually about 6:30 or so, we check in with Blue. Again, she's the incredible CEO behind Divine Energy Candles. They're a luxury candle company. So this is what she specializes in, as you can hear. We always cover a scent of the day. It kind of focuses us, as you heard earlier, and centers me and this broadcast. Then we get an opportunity to kind of reset and make our day just as extremely, as great as we can make it. And we wish and hope that we are doing that for you out there. So listen, Blue, stand by. We're going to be checking in with you down in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm glad it's nice down there. We got a lot to get to this morning. And so also want to remind everybody. Now, Blue, did you hear the lineup of these superstars of 90s TV who are all coming to our network? So I want to remind everybody. Now, there is a brand new BET Plus. It's a BET Plus, which is their streaming network, that's all about a Christmas and a family. And it's called A Wesley Christmas. And it stars a different world's Jasmine Guy, who used to play Whitley. It was a popular show way back when in the day. And she's out there with this incredible movie, along with, I want to say, Dorian Wilson, who played, you guys remember him from The Parkers. He was the professor that that Monique's character was always chasing around. So he'll be with us the following day. And then, not enough, we've got the incredible T.C. Carson, who played Kyle on Living Single with Queen Latifah, Kim Fields, and Kim Coles, and all of that. So we are just so excited. I'm going to get to chat with each one of them, along with the cast of this incredible movie. So you don't want to miss the Air Radio Morning Show at all this week. We've got all of that, plus we've got some surprises in store. So are you a fan of 90s TV, Blue?
Oh, absolutely. And Living Color and all those shows.
Well, Living Color, believe it or not, I've chatted with one of the stars, Takiya Kima Crystal. You guys know her. She played Raven Simone's mother on That's a Raven. If you Google me out there, she wrote a book about hair. She wrote a hair book way back when, and I've interviewed her like twice. What I love about Takiya and Living Color is they brought us the first look that we had before Whoopi Goldberg really was Takiya Crystal with her natural hair. So I love it. She told me so many amazing things. And so I did, not only the interview, but I think I did a whole thing for her book with the previous magazine that I was associated with long before I started working with Upscale Magazine. So really good stuff. You know, it's all about whatever we've got a cachet of a wonderful connect here at the Hair Radio Morning Show, as you guys know. So really good stuff. So yeah, 90s TV. So you're a fan, and also I have another connection to in Living Color, which was the Wayans family, and our big show when I used to live out in Hollywood, we had the fellow who produced my music was also great friends with, I don't know if it was Jennifer Lopez or not, but he was very close to close to the Fly Girls, I'll just put it that way, this morning, who were the backup dancers. We'll talk a little bit more about that on another show. So listen, Blue, thank you so much. And we're going to cover with you some of the holiday scents and so much more. So thanks again for being with us. Really appreciate
Great job.
Okay, Michael, we're going to take a little commercial break. When we come back, Michael Hopkins, we're going to get into all that's happening today, not to mention the election talk, the Veterans Holiday, all kinds of things that are happening on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, I'm Carrie. It's Tuesday, November 8th. It's great to have you guys with us. So stay tuned. We've got more to go. Stay tuned.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CC Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. All right, we're back live. It's Tuesday, November 8th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. It is our show number 782. Goodness, 782 as we broadcast live. Oh, my goodness. All right, so it's about 8:01 out of New York, and so happy to have this gentleman to kind of help, to kind of be my wingman this morning. You guys know him well. He's out of Spotsylvania, Virginia, the northern part of Virginia. He says beautiful Spotsylvania. It's my pleasure to welcome again Michael Hopkins. Hey, Michael,
Happy November 8th. Good morning.
Yes, it
again.
Is. Good morning again. Yes, happy November
yes.
8th. It is bright
yes,
and sunny down here
it's
in Spotsylvania, Virginia.
Well, where you are. It's bright and sunny up here in Brooklyn, New York. The only thing is a little chilly out, but it's okay. So it's really that time of the year. We've been kind of, you know, I'm kind of bouncing back and kind of enjoying this weather. But, Michael, let's turn to the show. Let's go back a little bit. Have you been listening to this broadcast this morning? We've been on since 6, New York time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was jam-packed. Wayne Smith is one of my favorite people when we have him on the show.
Yes,
and
our
he
political
is just
advice.
Such a,
yeah.
Right, and he is just such a wealth of knowledge.
Yes, and Michael,
I mean,
thanks,
you know,
go ahead. He has a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, he's just a wealth of knowledge, and you can't help but just absorb a lot of the things he has, the views he's had, because he's been in that arena. And
mm-hmm.
I just enjoy it. I just enjoy listening to him, and I get a lot of insights into the political process.
Yeah. Wayne was with first, let me just give you guys the whole skinny on this. I don't know if they still say that, Michael, but I do. Okay. So anyway.
Sounds good so
Wayne
far.
They do. Okay. Wayne is or was the mayor. He was the mayor for 12 years. A wonderful, wonderful gentleman of color and just incredibly, as Michael said, knowledgeable. And he explains things so well. So Wayne was with us on Friday's show, this on the 4th of November. And we were so excited to welcome him back. It has been a while since he had been on our show. And he came in like gangbusters and gave us a whole education on the importance of the midterm elections and also the importance of voting. And many of you guys out there, this is what you do. It's your civic responsibility like it is mine. And so he gave us a great reminder of that when he was here. And so we thought it would be very appropriate to replay that as our kickoff show today. So that's what we did. So if you play this show back, Wayne Smith, I think first you'll hear Ahava Felicidad, who is a hairstylist out of Jersey as well. She's in Jersey. And then you'll hear Wayne Smith, who really breaks it down. If you are not sure about these things or don't, you have some questions, he will clarify everything. So you don't want to miss that. And then Wayne himself will be back live on Friday, this Friday, as if we don't have a packed show or a packed week. Wayne will be back with us on Friday about 8 o'clock Eastern time to wrap up this whole election. It's also important. He's not just going to go through the election, the wins, the losses, and all of that kind of stuff, but he's also going to tell us what's next. To me, in the black community, we don't want to speak monolithically, but I just want to say for myself, I have a lot of questions. I want to know what's next. If things change, because we're going to be affected in ways that you have no idea. I suggest you get out and vote. Boy, oh boy. That's all I can
say.
So things are really getting quite interesting. So please vote, folks. Vote. Get out. I walked out this morning and had to figure out how to accomplish everything because we're on the air at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's the time that I go out and vote. I like to get to the polls early where there's not long lines and all of that in my neighborhood. And I go in. As you see, if you follow me on Facebook under my Carrie Hines page, you'll see where I actually put the put my little I voted sticker there that they give out here in New York City. So it was fun. It was really cool. Got it done and got back here to the studio to continue with the show. So that's how crazy it was this morning. So really busy morning. So, Michael, how about you? Now, I just want to bring everybody up to speed. You yourself you have been working on the veterans episode, and I have to say, today is, we had a whole big thing, all scheduled and all of this, and I forgot it's veteran, it's on top of the election for the midterms. It's also your Veterans Day celebration broadcast, because you're not, this is the day before, this is the last Tuesday that you get to broadcast before Veterans Day itself, which is on Monday.
Right.
So that's why this episode was kind of important to you to do, and I can't wait to hear some of the things.
Thank you.
I know that, yeah, I was trying to get on, which we're going to keep my fingers crossed. We're working on all of this. I know you'll be on with us throughout the hour, because at 8:30, we're going to switch it up a little bit. I know you had a wonderful interview with these incredible two veterans. And we're going to talk, we can get that on so you can talk to, listen to that. And then also talk live with you, Michael, about how important this, the veterans are with the elections and politics and how all that ties together from your perspective. So lots to talk about today. And
more
on the way.
Oh, lot.
So we'll send you off in just a little bit to prepare for the 8:30 edition of your broadcast coming up in just a bit. So it's been crazy today. I really have to say, it's just been a busy day. So we're going to have some of those times. It's not like this every day, but here and there it gets a little hectic. So, Michael, I know that you had the two gentlemen, you did a whole piece with them. Can you tell everybody just a little bit on how it was and their names? Remind everybody or tell everybody whom you spoke with, and then just a little bit, and then we'll tease it, and then you guys tune in at 8:30, and we'll play the rest. Go right ahead, Michael. Take it away.
Well, Karen, I had two of my fellow Army veterans on there, and that was Curtis Hervey and Walton Nelson. Basically, we had a great time just talking about the basics of this whole claims process. And, people heard me talk about it, and I just thought it would be fun to have an informative, to have two other veterans that have done some of the same things that I've done. And it's really a good show. It really is. It's going,
Michael,
to be just, yes.
Yes, I was just wondering, didn't mean to interrupt you. So why is that important to get the perspective of other veterans?
Oh, pretty much, Carrie, the reason why it's so important to get the other perspectives from other veterans, different things a lot of time happen differently to veterans. Sometimes one veteran will get rated for something from the VA claims and pension section, and another veteran can have the very same issue and not get rated. And sometimes we ask, as veterans, we ask ourselves why. We'll say, hey, I got the same thing he got. How come I'm not getting compensated? And a lot of times it just comes to little things. There may have been one small thing that veteran A did that veteran B didn't do. And that's the reason why this was so important to do this.
I am so excited. You're talking about, the Captain Hervey and Mr. Nelson, Walter Nelson. So I can't wait to hear all of this. And it's just going to be exciting. I can't say enough. It's going to be exciting. So good stuff. Now, Michael, how important also is reminding everybody to vote? The military folks, and did you guys have to write in, to vote and all that? How did that work when you were downline, you were out and about and in different places and all of that? For those of us who are not veterans, kind of tell us what that process was like.
Right. Perfect example, Karen. Back in the 80s, I was in Germany, And we would literally get the ballots in the mail, and literally, you know, no matter where you lived in the United States, when we were like in Europe, we would get the ballots in the mail, and you fill them out, send them back in, just like that. So it's not unusual for military people to do things like this. It's not unusual, you know, the general population thinks, oh, why, you know, this is new. No,
well,
it's not new.
I don't think the folks who were not a part, that's why I love this, because the military, to me, really, you know, created the model for the mailing of the, you know, the mail-in ballots and all of that. So they deserve big time credit for getting it right.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So really good.
And you know, Carrie, as military people, this whole political voting is very important to us as military people, because that's how a lot of the policies, especially for veterans, the PACT Act is a very good example of the political process that it took veterans, just like same with the Vietnam era veterans. It took veterans to lobby to Congress, to senators. That's what it took. And it moved things, it leap-yeared ahead of a lot of issues that veterans had. Because a lot of, you know, when veterans came back from Vietnam, a lot of things happened that it just didn't work out at first. But when veterans got political, the Vietnam veterans got political, all of a sudden, things like the wall went up in 82. The VA and the mental health community began to recognize PTSD, you know, the post-trauma. They started, you know, prior to the 80s, they may have called it different names, shell shock, battle fatigue,
I think it also reflects on the general, I call it Gen Pop, on the general public, because it wasn't big, probably widespread just as it is now, but it was not something that, and believe me, you know this, Michael, it wasn't fashionable to talk, it's barely getting there now.
Right. Yeah,
you
know? That's true, Carrie. That's true, veterans,
Michael.
It's the same thing.
And I used
you
to
know,
hate those
now.
Derogatory terms that I remember growing up in Philadelphia, and they would say to some poor veteran and it just was horrible. You know, that's why I have a passion and love for what you guys are doing, Michael. This is – go ahead, Michael, because, you know, I get caught up in all this stuff.
Like I always tell you, you're an honorary veteran. I mean, you know, it's just – that's the way it is. But you're right. It hit the mental health aspect of being a veteran. It's coming to the forefront now a lot better, but – you know, back when I was active duty in the 80s, you didn't talk about it. None of them didn't talk about it. We knew some of the guys had issues, because when I was in, it was still a lot of Vietnam veterans that were still in the military. And, you know, you knew they had some type of issues. And sometimes people would just kind of play it off, laugh it off. But, you know, now, 21st century, we're finding that, you know, there's nothing funny about it. I remember a lot of, and you would remember this too, a lot of the movies from back 80s, 90s, if they showed some kind of veteran, it would either be like a Rambo-type veteran or be a veteran that had some type of mental health issues.
Yeah.
You know, there was
so
no
kind of like
in-between.
A stereotypical, so it's a stereotype that they were pushing
pretty
in those
much.
Movies.
Pretty much. And the VA, you know, too, they've gotten better at it, too, with a lot of the programs that they have for veterans that have mental illness. And, I mean, they've gotten better at it. It's gotten a whole lot better, the treatment and so forth. But you know,
wow.
Karen, it's just like you say, I, with my other veteran brothers and sisters, and I just implore them to just get out and vote. Please get out and vote. It is so important that they get out and vote. I mean, there's policies,
yeah.
that, you know, all of that stuff that affects the military, you know, be it veteran or active duty. And if you don't vote, then we get dragged and things happen that shouldn't happen. So just get out and vote.
I think we can all see. We started witnessing the extreme politics that have already started to unfold in front of our faces and right in front of our eyes. And so this just moves me to do what you can. And so at Hair Radio, we are building a coalition. Okay, I have an association. I have about 1,000 members in there. But we're also creating a coalition. And I want to make a constituency of the hair and beauty people. There are literally millions of folks who this is what they do. And it's not, you're talking in the high hundreds of thousands who are out there in the hair and beauty realm. So, and so we're building that coalition so that we can have a true voice in change, because that's what it is. It's about, you know, having your voices heard out there. And so that's what, you know, if that doesn't get you out there to vote, I don't know what else will. If you want
that?
Things to, yeah, because it's about to get kind of chaotic. You have a lot of places where it feels that personal freedoms are on the ballot, where democracy is being threatened. And this is something we don't talk about all that much on the radio show, but we do bring in our amazing and illustrious Wayne Smith, our political advisor. Again, former mayor. We always go right to the top right here in the Hair Radio Morning Show. That's what we do, Michael Hopkins. We go to the best to get the information firsthand for you guys. So, Michael, I'm going to send you off for a little bit. I want you to be prepared. 8:30, we're going to come back in live at 8:30, and we're going to set up this discussion for you guys out there, the veterans and everybody else tuned in. This recent panel discussion, and Michael, these are Captain Hervey. We're so excited, Captain Curtis Hervey, and as well as Harvey, as well as Walter Nelson. So you had an incredible talk. I can't wait to share this, and we're going to set this all up at about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. So we're going to send you off to get prepared for it. Michael, anything else you want to say to our Hair Radio Morning Show fans about what's coming up this season on the Best Talk Radio Show?
Oh, yes, Carrie. I've been working on some really good topics, and it's going to be nice. You know, there are a lot of questions that a lot of the vets ask me, and I started doing my research. So those are the kind of things I'm going to go over. Just little things that can turn into big things when you're filing for compensation. So that's what this season is going to be about. My goal is to have as many veterans as I can to get to the 100% level. So that they're permanent, totally 100%.
I cannot wait to hear all this that you're going to get into and all of that this season. I'm super excited. Hey, Michael, do you remember we had on the gentleman? And we're doing a complete turn on topic talk this morning, but I want to just check in. We're going to be checking in with him. I'm going to reach back out. This was the fella. And I kind of think about Michael Hopkins and all of us who know this music and this particular artist. Talk about, artistry and music and all of that. I remember the incredible Mary Wilson, who was one of the Supremes. And I remember we had on the gentleman, and I said, you know what, I got to get on Miss Mary Wilson. We miss her so much.
And, you know, we lost her maybe, what, I don't know, I guess it'll be 2 years in February. And we were such big fans. And her assistant, her last assistant that she picked out and was such an important part of his life was a very special guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, where everybody comes to tell their story. So we love it. It's an incredible story. If you haven't heard it, we're going to try to check in with him soon and all of that. But right now, Mike, I'm going to send you off again to get ready for the show and about 8:30 this morning, New York time. And we're going to take a music break. I'm going to put on Mary Wilson. This is one of my favorite remixes of Miss Mary Wilson's tune. And that's only about 4 or 5 minutes. We'll be back with you on the other side. So stay with us. We got a lot more to get into on this Tuesday morning, November 8th, of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Michael Hopkins. Go ahead, get ready for the Vet Talk Radio Show. We'll be live at 8:30, Michael Hopkins. So stand by. All right, here's Mary.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
Hi, I'm Terry Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carry Hines Hair Care, especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carry Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types, whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at hairradio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
With you guys and Terry Hines out of Brooklyn, New York. Michael Hopkins, the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show, is here to kind of take it away. Michael Hopkins, we're so excited. First, let me just make sure everybody's aware. It's we're having a big thing out here. We're live, of course, and it's a big midterm election and all of that. So we're kind of a little bit kind of playing catch up here. But I'm excited about the Vet Talk Radio Show today, Michael. You had a panel discussion.
Oh,
so
yeah.
How was that,
yeah.
Michael? Yeah. You tell everybody. And first, let me just do our official salute to the veterans. I want to welcome all the veterans to this broadcast. We love you for your service to this country. And today, this is just a reminder of what your service represents, and that's the opportunity to go out and participate in the election process and all of that. So thank you. And Michael, you're one of the veterans. We salute you as well. Thank you for your service as well. And I'm looking forward to the show. So yeah, you had a big panel talk. Tell us all about it.
Oh yeah, Karen. I mean, it was fun. It really was, just to talk to other veterans about the issues they have in the claims and pension process. You see, Carrie Hines, what happens a lot of times, we as veterans, we think we're all alone in this claims and pension process. We really do.
Yeah.
And a lot of us go it alone, and we get turned down, something happens, we get frustrated, and we just stop. But you see, there are a lot of other veterans out there that can help you. There are a lot of organizations.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
that's
Michael,
what I love
this
about
is big. Me too. I love that you are so passionate about this, and that you make sure to help everybody with this, with these types of things. So again, now these gentlemen, to me, they seem different, but kind of had a lot of things in common. Can you talk a little bit about that part?
Oh, sure. Even though they're from different areas of the military, just like myself, different years, we all have one or more things in common when it comes to being a veteran. A lot of times, most of us as veterans, we've had some kind of illness or injury while serving on active duty. Some of us are wartime veterans. Some of us are not.
a lot of us, we go to file and we run into the same issues when we're filing for compensation. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things we have. And you know, and another thing, Carrie, that we all have in common,
what?
We all have a voice. We all have a voice when it comes to this stuff. We have our own thoughts, you know, our points of view. All of us have that. And many times, a lot of us as veterans, we're pretty much thinking the same way about the same issues when it comes to the compensation for the injuries you sustained.
Wow.
So it's really exciting having these guys on.
Well, you're going to get into all of that. And this season, you're going to be having and featuring a lot of the veterans who you guys out there who are all tuned in right now. We see you. And guys, if you have, I'm going to say this, if you have something you want to jump in with, press 1, and we'll see what we can do to get you on. But, Michael, this is really exciting. And I also want to say officially, Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there. I know that Veterans Day is it's Friday the 11th, but this is our one opportunity on the Vet Talk Radio show. Next Tuesday will be past it already. So we want to definitely acknowledge all the veterans out there for their service to this country. And I hope that you spend it in a remarkable way. And Michael, so I'm excited for you, Michael Hopkins.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Carrie.
Okay.
It was really such a pleasure.
Well, this is going to be exciting. So kind of stick it out. Take a listen. This is going to be something I think you'll get a whole lot from. It's Michael Hopkins with his own panel this morning with Captain Curtis Hervey and Walter Nelson. And they've got some things to share. And, Michael, we'll talk on the other side real quickly at the end of this. And, again, I'm Carrie Hines with Michael Hopkins. Michael, I'm going to go ahead and just get it going this morning on this show. So we're going to have some good times. Okay, here we go. Stay with us.
I have two very special guests today. They are Curtis Hervey and Walter Nelson, both of our veterans. And welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
This is Nelson. Happy to be here, Mike. Happy to be here.
Great, great. I'm happy to have you guys on today. And let's just get right into it. What we're going to be talking about today is your experience in filing claims for compensation with the VA system. And, Curtis, let's start with you. Why did you decide to file a claim for compensation?
Well, it's just different eras that I'm a OIF veteran, Iraqi
Freedom. And that is Iraqi Freedom.
Operation Iraqi Freedom. Yes, sir.
Right.
Persian Gulf, Desert Storm, 1991. I'm also Afghanistan veteran, OEF, Operation Enduring Freedom. And that was in 2012 and 2013. So what I've noticed is that a lot changed from 1992 when I got out to 2014 when I got out the second time. So I have two careers in the military, and things really improved. Things have improved a lot. One way they improved is that now the military and the VA, they do a joint, if you've been medically boarded, they do a joint board. That's amazing.
Right. And
so,
basically with the board, just give us an idea about the board.
Well, the medical board, what it does is that they convene the VA and the DOD. Mine was at Fort Lewis, Joint Base Lewis McChord. And that's where my packet went. And they convene and they'll look at everything. They don't want to miss anything. They learn from the mistakes in the past, where people have fallen through the cracks, things have been overlooked. And now they said, well, let's put our heads together. It'll be more beneficial for the veteran, for the person, for the service member transitioning, if we bring our heads together and do it all at the same time.
Right.
And that's what they
right.
do. They'll look at – exactly, because each agency is looking at different things. Now, the DOD is looking at those conditions that make you unable to do your job in the military. That's all they're looking at. So it could be one thing, two things. The VA is looking at anything that's caused you a disabling effect, anything, and they'll give you a percentage as low as 10% and up.
Right.
Two different strategies here. The VA
right.
doesn't care what if it affects your ability to do your job in the military or not. If it's disabling
right.
you, it's disabling. So
right. now,
two different agendas. And, yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Curtis, let me. I want to jump right in and just want to give Walter a chance because he's from a different
okay.
era of veteran than you are. And I just want to hear
mm-hmm.
his view on why he filed, and we'll get back with you.
Okay.
To Walter. So, Walter, why
yes,
did you
Mike.
File? You're from a different era of veteran than Curtis.
Well, I served in the United States Army from 1977 to 1980. And back in my era, things was a lot harder as far as to get through boot camp. And because the drill sergeants there, they had a lot more leniency over the soldiers, you know. As time went on, I started having a lot of health problems that I suffered while on active duty. That was what led me to file.
Oh, okay. Understood. And getting back to you, Curtis, I'm sure it was the same thing with you. The health problems. All of us have different health problems as veterans. And I'm quite sure it was the same thing for you.
Yes, sir. If I may
add,
now, to answer your question more succinctly, is that I got discharged in 92, and I started having health issues where I couldn't sleep, and I felt very weak, and I got concerned. I thought I was dying. So I didn't know what was going on. I'm used to being a power lifter and a weightlifter, and I was getting very weak. So I went back to the VA, and I thought that I might have had Persian Gulf Syndrome. I didn't know what it was all about. And they ran tests, and they said, it's nothing physical that we're finding that's wrong with you. And there was a pause, and I was like, well, what you mean? What are you trying to say? So what they were getting at is they felt it was something mentally that was draining me. So what caused me is the feeling that my body wasn't the way it used to be, and my mind wasn't the way it used to be. That's what got me in there. I thought I was dying, actually.
Right, and unfortunately and regrettably, that's what happens to a lot of us as veterans. Things start to happen to our bodies, and this is what drives us to file.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know we went in one way. I mean, would you both kind of agree with that? We all went in one way. It doesn't matter what era you went in, but we all went in one way. We came out a different way. And
exactly.
Now that we're out here in the civilian world and we're trying to cope with the things that happened to us, sound yeah. about right?
That's right.
Yes.
You feel diminished.
Yes, that's about right. That's on point. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of difficulties as far as just everyday life struggles, you know, just dealing with my family, dealing with my coworkers, you know. Being around people, you know, I have struggles with that.
Right, and
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times, many of us as veterans, this is what we face. We face these things on a daily, monthly, weekly, yearly basis. And got another good question for you guys. What about your successes filing claims or maybe your denials? Let's start with you, Walter.
My experience, they've taken me through changes. The reason why they take me through things, in so many words, they're telling me I've been out too long, and the regulations say they're not supposed to tell me that. That's what I'm dealing with.
And by the regulations, you mean the regulations
the 38 CFR. That's the regulation I'm talking about.
Right. The Code of Federal Regulations. It says basically age is not a factor. And I'm sure, Curtis, you've read that. You've seen it also.
Yes, I have. Yeah. You know, my difficulties were what I've come to understand. I've been able to put things in perspective. I've been trying claims since my first claim was 1992, and I had just nothing but failure all those years. But it wasn't necessarily the VA's fault. It was the type of claims I was turning in. I didn't understand what I was doing. I didn't know how to file a claim properly. I thought you could argue with them and then win a claim. It doesn't work that way. And I thought I could overload them with a bunch of information and documents. It doesn't work that way because I'm not an objective medical expert. And because of that, they're not going to take my word that I have a condition that I'm claiming
so
I have.
So true. And none of us are. None of us are medical experts when it comes to the claims and pension process.
I realized by working with you and Huddle Up, I know you got to have a plan. See, when you file, you got to know what VA is looking for and how they make their decisions. And then the third step is stay focused. You know, don't ever give up.
Right.
Don't ever give up.
Yes, and you know what? Those are very valid points that you have there, because I find, especially the not giving up part, I find that a lot of veterans they give up. They're right there at the gate, and all they have to do is open the gate with evidence, and they give up. And, you know, there are a number of reasons, and we've covered this on a previous show, why a lot of veterans just give up. And what are you guys' thoughts on that as far as veterans and just giving up?
Well, one of the main reasons why they give up, I'm speaking of me in my early years of filing. I did not educate myself. I didn't know how to file a claim. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what I was doing, because back in the 90s, it wasn't much help out there when I first started filing claims. And basically, I was just going on what I believe was right. Just sending in a lot of documents to back up your claim. But that is not, it's just not that simple. Because VA needs a nexus in medical evidence.
Right. Now what is a nexus letter? Walter, you mentioned a nexus letter. What exactly is that? Because a lot of our listeners wouldn't know.
It's written by a professional, someone in the professional field, like a doctor or an ENT doctor, someone who has that MD behind their name, or nurse practitioner. They connecting your illness to your service related. They connect your illness, making service related for it. They basically what they're doing. They're writing your letter, telling VA how your illness is service connected.
So it's
and they're
like
telling them a little bit
the
about their background history, far as, you know, how long they've been practicing and what field they practice in.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say, Curtis, is sort of like connecting the dots when we file a claim, when we do things like that, when we have an independent medical opinion?
Sure it is. The word nexus means connection, and you can't connect it as the claimant, as a veteran claimant. Only that objective medical professional can do that. Only they can make that connection, because they're qualified and trained to do that, and they're objective. You know, perceived to be more objective. So they're saying, in my professional opinion, I think the symptoms that this individual is reporting to me, this veteran, are more likely than not or whatever connected to their service in the military. That's it.
Right. Exactly. And that right there, that should tie everything up. As far as the VA is concerned, it should tie everything up. And
that's the thing I was not doing.
Right. And a lot of us don't do that.
Exactly, because I was doing the same thing. That least likely or not, that's very important in a Nexus letter. That's very important. They look for that.
Right, and that is one of the five conditions that's accepted by them. And we're going to have a show. We're going to do a show just highlighting the five conditions that veterans should have in that Nexus letter. And if let me just cut in real quick. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Michael Hopkins and here at Vet Talk Radio, and I have my two guests. I have Mr. Curtis Hervey and Walter Nelson, and we're just veterans, and we're just talking about the claims process and our experience with the claims process. Now, if you guys could change something in this whole claims process, what would you change? Let's start with you, Walter. What would you change in this whole claims process?
Well, the main thing I would change is the fact that somebody hold VA accountable far as duty to assist and benefit of the doubt, because that will help a veteran so much better. It will help a veteran if they was held accountable and do their job. I would change that.
Now, just real quick, the duty to assist, that basically means the VA is supposed to assist you in any way to help you successfully file and win a claim. That's basically what the duty to assist is. And a lot of veterans don't know that. That sounds about right, Curtis. A lot of veterans do not know that.
No, they didn't. I didn't know that. See,
right.
I would go, most veterans go to the VA and say, hey, would you help me with this? And there's a lot of great people in the VA. A lot of people stick their neck out for, you know, risking a job sometimes. And they'll help you, but I was thinking they're doing me a favor. I didn't know that they're required to do it by law. I didn't know that until I started learning these things. I was like, oh.
Yep.
Right.
By law.
And that's by law, and that's the key thing. By law, they're supposed to help us as veterans. That's what they're supposed to do there. And somehow, and Curtis, you so eloquently said it, a lot of times veterans fall through the cracks due to not being assisted by the system. So sad.
But
Mike, can I comment on one more thing I would like to see change?
Yeah.
What's that?
I would like to see the doctors at VA write Nexus letters for the veteran, because the veteran been seeing them for the last 3, 4, 5 months, and they have a good history on the veteran.
Yeah.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? That duty to assist once again.
And you're absolutely right. And I'm sure the three of us have experienced this when we do approach our primary care physician or any of the specialty clinic physicians or nurse practitioners. There's always resistance. And for some reason, they're either told that they can't write a Nexus letter, or they don't want to, or they have fear of reprisal or fear for their jobs. It's not really the case. Like you said, Walter, they could actually – they've been your doctor. You've had
they
the same,
qualified to do it.
Yeah.
Like you said, they've been your doctor for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months. They know you.
And sometimes they've been your VA doctor for maybe 5 years.
You've actually
been
for years. Because I got the same kind of college for the last 2 years.
Right. So they know you.
If I could add a few things, gentlemen, I've had some negative experiences at the VA, but I've also had some, we all have, positive, wonderful experiences. I have had people write me nexus statements. I've had people fill out forms for me. I sat down with this one nurse practitioner. She filled out a VA form for me, and that got me 100% chronic fatigue syndrome. So
wow.
That just happened not long ago. So
yeah, you're right. There are some nice ones. Some of them will stick their neck out and do it for you. Some of them will.
Yeah.
You're right. And I tip my hat to them and give them kudos on that. Some of them will do it.
I've even gone back to my records, and I had this one primary care physician who acted like he didn't want to get involved. And I said, I understand. I get it, sir. No problem. I just thought to ask. And then I looked back at my records. He stuck his neck out without telling me and wrote something up for me. I didn't know he did that.
Wow.
I was digging through my records. I said, look at this guy.
And that's your medical records that you look through, right?
Yeah, you got to dig through that stuff. I used to be the type of veteran to go to an appointment and go home, and that was it. Now I know you got to read what they wrote because sometimes it may not be what y'all discussed.
Right, because
I found
true.
That out, too. I found that out, too. They do write some good stuff about you in your notes. And they doctor's notes.
Yep.
Right.
I've also used to your benefit. Because
right.
Mike can tell you that what happened to me. On my decision letter, I was diagnosed with a mental disability, but they didn't tell me what it was. So me and Mike went and searched in my doctor notes, and there it was, MDD, massive disorder, I had a massive depressive disorder, you know. I suffer from depression. And the doctor, that what connected it to my in-service because the doctor floated in my notes that I suffer from depression, a massive depression disorder.
And that
basically connected me, service connected.
And you know the beautiful thing about it, guys? All the information is free. It's right there for us going to the VA hospital. That's one of the reasons why I encourage veterans, if you're not already associated with your local VA hospital as a patient, my suggestion is go do it. Get yourself to the hospital. Sign in up as a patient. It costs you nothing. And a lot of your medical information that you're going to need to file for compensation, it will come from the VA. A lot of it will come from the VA. That's my, you know, my thing out here to the universe for veterans. I know I go to the VA hospital all the time. I always have something that I have concerns with. And as we get older, we have concerns about our health. We're about to wrap this up. And, Mr. Nelson, what's next for you?
Well, Mike, I have two claims with VA pending. So my thing is I'm going to continue to look for more medical evidence to send in to help my claim and plus study some more, you know, educate myself some more about VA claims, you know, look at my video, read my literature. And like I say, I'm going to continue to work on my case and never give up. Never give up. I want all my veterans, they take something from this show, take that from this show. Never give up. It's help out there. You just got to reach out there and look for it. And it's free. And it's free. Because like I said, the Hut Up group helped me a lot. That's how I met Mike, and Mike been a blessing to me.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate that. Well, I'd like to thank my guests, and stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio. Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup.
and each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, and our entire sponsorship family. We thank Michael Hopkins and his Angels panel and all of you. Thank you.